bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you, asking you, Lord, to have our hearts and our minds open and receptive to your word, to the way you want us to hear it, and that we can live it the way you would have us live, and give us the encouragement and strength to live for you, regardless of the cost to us. Lord, that it is you and you alone that has not only created this world, but you have given us life, you have given us liberty, and you have given us the freedom from sin to worship you. I pray, O God, that in this we will not only acknowledge it, but that we will see and do your will in our lives, that your will and your way would have its presence in us today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not advertising for book sales, but Dean Franz wrote a book, and it's a heritage of the Franz family. He goes back to his grandfather, Isaac, and in that book, he tells a few pages about his grandfather, how he was saved and preached in the time of his, when he was living in the early 1900s. And then he talks about Herb Franz. How many of you remember Herb Franz? Hey, he was a tremendous man. I could tell you lots of stories about him. Two-thirds of the book probably is about him. But he was preaching up to 13 days before he died, and preaching the Word of God. And I never knew Herb where he didn't have something to lead and turn the conversation to Christ as he talked with you. And he had a way about himself, and again, like I said, I'm not going to tell the stories, but if you knew him and if you had any dealings with him, you knew he was truly a man of God, and he was one that lived his faith, and you could see his faith living out through him as he walked, as he talked, and as he went through life. So with that, we want to look at the scripture for today and see what God has to say to us, and to not only encourage us, but also to warn us of the things coming, of the things we're going through, that we may not think they're so bad, or we might think they're horrible and we don't know what to do about them. Let us turn to God and remember He is the one that keeps us. He is the one that has helped us. He is the one that is watching over us, not only yesterday and today, but he will do it forever, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in that, we want to see what he has to say, and we want to hear the words that he speaks, helping our hearts and our minds to be open and clear to his teaching, clear to what he tells us, and to help us that we would not procrastinate, but we would go forward in faith, living and believing that what Christ has to say to us, he will take care of us and watch over us. So we'll turn to Mark chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 21. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. And he also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor anything seen or anything been kept secret that should not come forth to the light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we also look back into Deuteronomy. God was talking to the Israelites when they came out from Egypt, and he says, have I not brought you out and taken care of you? Have I not watched over you, and I've given you your clothes don't rot, your shoes are good, and those shoes lasted them for 40 years. How many of us could do that? Not very many, huh? How many of us have shoes that's 40 years old? You know, we don't do that. We go buy new ones, don't we? But we find God took care of the Israelites, and he told them one thing. I am the Lord thy God. I am the one that will keep you. I am the one that will watch over you. I am the one that gave you the commandments. And I am faithful unto all generations of all those that love me and keep my commandments. But he says, I'll tell you another thing. If you refuse to believe or refuse to follow, I will take and punish you to your face. In that punishment, we find that in Peter, God is long-suffering in patience, but he says, my patience will run out. And he says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And then we find in Deuteronomy at the end, he says, therefore you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments, which I have commanded you today. And he's talking not only to the Israelites, he's talking to us also. Then we look into 2 Timothy, and Paul is talking about living for Christ. He says, are you a vessel of honor or dishonor? You see, there's only one foundation that has ever been laid, and there's only one foundation no one can lay another foundation, because that foundation was laid on Christ Jesus himself. It was laid when Christ, God sent Jesus into the world to die for our sin. And as he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary and he shed his blood for us, we find that that foundation was laid. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Son that God sent, the only begotten Son of God, sent into the world to free us from the bondage of sin. And in that freedom, we find we have freedom to live, we have freedom to believe. There is a couple women that was arrested in Iran, and they were put in Iran's worst prison for almost 1 year, 259 days, I think it was, and they continued to tell their guards, Jesus Christ died for your sins and for mine, and Jesus is the one that we have to serve and the one in which we have to live for. And they told them over and over again. Most people in a prison are put, never come out, and they are tortured and they are misused by the prison guards and by the government of Iran themselves. Yet these women were released. And they tell today of the horrors of that prison, the horrors of the Muslim religion in that country, as well as throughout the world, how they believe and how they will try and do everything they can to have the Muslim law become law throughout the world. And I kid you not, it is a dangerous, dangerous one, because in their law it says if you do not turn Muslim and pray to Muhammad and their Allah, that you are a infidel and you would be killed. And I am not knocking any person, but I am telling you that they are a religion of falsehood, a religion you do not want to go with. And Jesus tells us, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And be careful what you hear, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto God the Father but by me. And so we find that that foundation that Christ laid when he came and died for us, he gave his life for us, he shed his blood for us, and we are to obey him and him alone. And any other one that wants to come in is false. We find that in Bethlehem, the Palestinians will claim Christ as a Palestinian only, not as a Jewish, but as a Palestinian, Arab. And we find the scripture tells us Christ was born to a Jewish woman named Mary. And we find that in the world today, not only in the Far East, but even in this country, there are people that want to change the times and the seasons. We find just yesterday where 11 people at least were killed in Pittsburgh, along with four policemen, and they called it terrorism. Yes, it is. But we find we have to have ourselves anchored in Christ, that even though we're anchored in Christ, we're going to see all these things going on around us. And David seen it in his day, and he says, Lord, help me to keep my eyes going straight forward on you, because you are my foundation. You are the one I want to obey. And our physical bodies, which are is in the physical flesh, and Satan is there trying to tempt us, and he is trying to make us leave God and to turn away our hearts and minds from what God is telling us to do. Jesus says, hear what I have to say, and be careful how you hear, so you know that I am with you. As we read in Revelation chapter 1, we find Jesus gives this command. He who hears and reads of these prophecies in this book, blessed are they. And those who don't hear and don't read from them will be taken what they already have. You see, we come into people and they have a little bit of knowledge about Scripture. And they will tell us they know it all. They don't, because they refuse to pray. They refuse to believe. They refuse to read. Some of them can't read, but they can still hear and they can pray. You see, even when Peter was in prison, he was put into stocks and he was put in where they felt he could never escape, yet he was free to pray. When Paul was in prison, they sang praises to God. And they sang praises, and God released them and took them out, and the jailer was saved and his household. Peter was taken out and taken out into the streets and went, and he left for a while so that they wouldn't come and find him to kill him. But we find that the Spirit of God is there for you and for me. And as we pray, God's Spirit will work a mighty way in us if we have our hearts right with Christ. And this is what's so important. Hear, Jesus says. Hear. Listen. How do we do that? Through the Word, through music, through listening to people bringing the Word of God in its truth and in its inerrancy and infallibility of the Word. We have many people today that'll say the Bible contains the Word of God, but there's also errors in it. Do not listen to them. The Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God, And it is that which God gave us so we can read and study, that we can pray, and we can say, Lord God, give me the strength and the encouragement to step out of my comfort zone and to approach those who know you but haven't accepted you as their personal Lord. Those who are of a carnal mind, that they forget the things of the world and take and turn their hearts and lives to you. Yes, we need things in this world to live, but our heart and our life should be on Jesus Christ and on what he has to give us, salvation, justification, and our sanctification as we walk with him day by day. We want to make sure we read and study his word, not just once a week or once a month, but we want to read it and study it daily. We want to pray and ask God to not only watch over us, but to keep us and have his Holy Spirit lead us in such a way that we have the unction and that we have the courage to step out and be imitators of Christ, that we will bring others into his kingdom. And yet we find so many people want to build on that foundation that Christ laid, and they want to build something else. Paul says there's a great house, and in that house are vessels of honor and dishonor. There's vessels of wood and hay and stubble, and it'll all go through the fire, and what's left will be of honor. And he tells us, if you refuse to be of wood, hay, or stubble, blessed are you, because you're standing up for Jesus Christ, because you're willing to stand up even if they ridicule you or making fun of you, and you're willing to stand up and you say, this is what God says, this is the word of God, and in this word we know that nothing is hidden that won't be seen. We find that every ear to hear hears something. Some closes it off. We talk about the soils and the seed and how some seed fell on bad ground and how it was choked out by the cares of the world. And then we have some that fell on good ground and it produced fruit. And we see the same thing today, don't we? Not only in our life, in our jobs, in our farming, whatever we may be doing, we can see God's hand working. God will give us the opportunity to speak to those around us. He gives us the opportunity. Let us lay on that foundation that he has built, his word, and build on that foundation something that will not be destroyed. And that's our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we come to him day by day, that we not only come to him, but he gives us encouragement and strength to talk to those around us. Have you ever been told by someone, and I have, that it's best if you just leave? Don't read the scripture to me. I don't believe it. You're wasting your time. I've had some of these things and all of these things said to me, but I say, Lord God, you are in charge because you are the one that created the heavens and the earth. You are the one that died for me and cleansed my heart and my soul. Therefore, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you. And Lord, give me the unction and the words to speak. And help me to bring to you some of those that are out there floundering, that they would have encouragement and strength to stand up and be counted worthy as your children. And we find that we can do this. And we find Jesus says, those that have, will more will be given as we read and study and as we do God's will. But if we refuse to do God's will, he says, what you have will be taken away from you because you're doing nothing with it. It will be given to those who are willing to work. Have you prayed and asked, and I've said it before, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart? And had that soul lay upon your heart, and then you have to say, Lord Jesus, I don't know how to act or what to say, but give me the words to say. And Jesus says, if they call you before the magistrates, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will tell you. But even he will give you the words to say and the manner in which to say them amongst those when he lays his soul upon your heart. And then can you save that soul then and bring it out of the fires of hell and into heaven? Praise the Lord for those that are willing to do it. And praise God for those that are willing to stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord. And we should all be doing that in thought, word, deed. Sometimes God tells us to be silent, and yet people will see something in you and they'll want to know what it is. You have the right to take and proclaim Christ as your personal Lord when they want to know what makes you so happy and exuberant in your life. You have the right to tell them because they ask. And we find so many times we will suppress that and we will make an excuse or say something else. We find that we are the lamp that has been lit and we want to hide it under a bushel or put it under a bed so people don't see or talk about us, or we don't have to take and proclaim Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We find sometimes that we don't know if we dare to try and build on that foundation that Christ has given us. He has given us that freedom as he died on Calvary's cross and he shed that precious blood on that cross for you and for me. And as he did that, we have the right. Prayer answers. Prayer can be answered by God. And in sincerity and truth, God will not only answer your prayer, but he will take and help you each day. You may not understand it all the time, and you may not always realize God is answering you, but he will be. And he has. And he has kept you because his mercy and grace is great throughout all times. We find, we look at the things in this country going wrong, and we see Satan doing everything he can in his power to get the hearts and minds of men to do evil and to disagree with what is good and to call good bad and bad good. And we see it in this country and throughout the whole world. It's not only us, but it's throughout the whole world. And Satan is doing everything he can to disrupt the peace and unity that God says is in his kingdom. God says, I will not allow sin in my kingdom. And sin will be revealed. And when it is revealed, it will be completely destroyed. And Christ, when he returns, he will put Satan under his feet. And it says Satan is arrested and thrown in prison for 1,000 years. And then they release him for a short time. And don't ask me why, because I don't know. And I don't know how God works. But Satan shows how terrible sin is, and he wants to destroy Christ, even though the world has lived in peace for 1,000 years. And Satan will try and destroy him, and he will be destroyed along with all sin, and eternity will begin. But your eternity begins the day you were born. And your eternity began that day, and you accepted Jesus Christ. You received a new body, or not the physical body, but a spiritual body in which you can serve Jesus Christ. And in that, when you serve Christ, and you're called out of this world of your fleshly body, you will be in heaven with him. He will send his angels to take you into his kingdom. and in there you will be forever and forever. And even when you're reunited with your body, and it says we'll be changed and we'll become like Christ, we don't know what that'll be, but we do know that God will change us and we'll be immortal. And Jesus says, I will have you sit down and at my feast, and I will take and serve you. Think of that. Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary, was willing to serve us because we followed him, because we called him our Lord and our Savior. He's willing to serve us because we might have gone through some hard times in this physical life, and he wants us to have his joy and his peace. We can have his peace as we have our hearts and lives stayed on him. Let us turn our hearts and make sure they are on him. As we sang earlier, you know, we turn our hearts to Christ. We want to live for him because he is the one that saved us. And when we sing these songs, think about the words and how the person that wrote that song was praising God and praising God for all the mercy that God had given them. And God gives us that mercy as we sing praises to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray you would be with us and watch over us. Help us as we go forward from this place today, that we would not only serve you, but we would do your will. And in your will, O Lord, we would be willing to stand for you, that we would be willing to stand and do your will, that, Lord, we know you are with us, and that Satan cannot destroy us because you are our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray.